Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. My guest today is Sharon Epps, and Sharon and I are talking about the difference between God's economy and man's economy. And this is a special edition of Money Life because we've been talking about this all week, haven't we, Sharon?
It's been wonderful to get to dive deep on the topic of how do we discover and live in God's economy.
Well, I know some of our listeners are wanting to get their hands on these charts that we're referring to. And so we've placed two charts on the web if you want to go and use these in your ministry. The opposing philosophies of money, the differences between living in man's economy and God's economy in terms of what you believe about money, and also the opposing economic forces. Both of those charts are available at crown.org, and I hope you'll go there and study them and use them in your own ministry.
There'll be wonderful practical tools as well that we'll be posting on the website. We encourage you to look at it frequently.
Well, a common question is, can you define God's economy? Sharon, how do we define it here?
You know what? We really believe that God's economy is a divine integration of the mystery of God's lordship, our stewardship, and generosity. There's a lot of words there, but as you unpack them, you begin to understand that God's lordship, our stewardship, and generosity are linked in a way that is completely unique and completely different from man's economy.
Well, I think that definition is important, Sharon, especially starting with those big words, a divine integration. And the reason I think it's important is there are people who attempt to strip God's principles away from Him. And you can't do that. They're integrated. The more you live by His principles, the more you get to know Him. And the more you get to know Him, the more you live by His principles. You can't take them apart. You can't uncouple them. I've said so many times in my life that God is not a financial principle. He's the principle of all things. He's over all things. And the goal is to know God and to walk intimately with Him. And so when we see that His principles are a part of who He is, that His word is truth, and that as we get to know truth and apply it to our lives, that we're knowing God Almighty in a deeper way.
Well, and you know what? That divine integration is a lifelong journey. And what I've found is those that have committed to discover God and to live in His economy uncover deeper and deeper truths as they begin to practice His lordship and stewardship and generosity.
Well, Ann and I pray so often in our own lives that the Lord would allow us to get out from under the control that man's economy tries to exert over us. Well, we've talked a lot about being spiritually transformed, and today we're going to talk about being financially transformed when we come back with Sharon Epps. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and this is the week where we're unpacking the difference between God's economy and man's economy. And Sharon, we wanted to emphasize that this is not a one-time event. This is not something where you wake up one day and all things are made new. It's really a journey, isn't it?
It's a lifetime journey. In fact, at Crown, we would love to think of ourselves as fellow journeymen with our listeners. We're still on the path of learning as well.
Well, we even see people late in life enter this journey or get derailed from this journey.
It is important to finish well, and in order to finish well, we have to start taking steps today.
Well, I know one of the aspects that encourages me so much about doing the Money Life broadcast is how many young people write me, and they tell me how well they're doing at living in God's economy, and it's just amazing how many wise, young, godly couples there are out there that are truly on this journey and doing it right.
There is nothing more exciting than hearing a college student on our young married couple who made the decision to discover and live in God's economy, apply the principles at the beginning, and not make the same mistakes they've seen others make.
Well, Sharon, let's repeat the definition of God's economy.
It's the divine integration of the mystery of God's lordship with our stewardship and generosity.
You know, one of the words I want to emphasize there is part of this is a mystery. Spiritual transformation is not something you can make a formula out of. It's a transaction of faith between you and the Lord. And how many times have we seen God totally intervene in a person's circumstances and change them? That's why it's a mystery. We don't know if he's going to do that every time, but we've seen him do it, and therefore we cannot make a formula out of his lordship.
We can't at all. I really equate it to the Israelites stepping into the Red Sea. It took a huge amount of faith for those priests to step into the Red Sea before those waters parted. And as I encourage people on their journey, I just encourage them to take that step of faith. And we don't know when and how God will provide, but it is amazing to see that as we start that journey, how God shows up in such unexpected ways.
Well, when we live in God's economy, after we establish the fact that we need to be spiritually renewed, that we need to have our mind transformed, that we need to change what we believe so that the world can lose its grip on our hearts, then we need to put it into practice. And the way God designed his economic system to work is that we apply his truth as faithful stewards.
You know what? Being a steward means making wise decisions in all that you do and all that you have. In fact, we love to say that stewardship is using your resources to accomplish God's mission.
And Sharon, I like to say that it starts with how you make money, how you manage money, and how you use it to fulfill God's purposes. Because so often we leave out the front end of that. The Lord wants us to make money for his glory. And it's okay to do that. We should never feel guilty about that. In fact, we need to grow in our ability to produce resources that benefit mankind and allow us to use what God blesses us with to advance his purposes.
And you know, as we study the Word, it's amazing the number of scriptures that deal with the ways we make money as well as how much we manage money.
Well, of course, the Lord's very practical. He told us that we should earn a living and provide for our family, or we're worse than an infidel. And so that's a pretty clear mandate, that we're to be people who produce. We're people that go to work, and that we're people who produce income so that our families can be taken care of, and that we can have resources to bless other people. Now, we started this week with a shocking quote by Dr. Mark Faber, the Swiss economist, who said that we're going to see terrible devastation to the whole economic system in the West within the next 5 to 10 years. And he may or may not be right. But either way, we need to learn how to make money in any circumstance. And it's my perspective that in the 21st century, Christians should be the most innovative people on the face of the earth, because we have a unique advantage. We have a supernatural advantage because the Lord will show us how to be innovative and how we can even remake our own careers. Mm-hmm. And it starts with understanding how he wired us, who we are, and what he uniquely equipped us to do.
You know, it really does. And what's very important is that we begin to match our skills and our interests and our experiences with our work as a way to maximize income. In fact, we've been doing a significant amount of research on careers. And I think you've even quoted here on the program the number of experts who say that if we do have a recovery, it will be a jobless recovery. And in one sense, that's not encouraging on the U.S. economic front. But from a Christian perspective, as we're trying to steward and use what God's given us, it's encouraging us to use the creativity he's given us in order to make an income.
You know, Sharon, it's a beautiful thing when a person operates within their skills, their interests, their experiences, and they're truly fulfilling the potential that God put in that person. It reminds me of some of the funny stories you read about a person who's been successful in music, and you read what they used to do. And you know, these people were parking cars, or they were working at the junkyard or something really strange. And you think, all that time, this beautiful, talented, capable musician had trapped inside them this talent that they wanted to come out. And somebody encouraged them, somebody shared with them an opportunity, and then it transformed their entire career. And they moved out of that place where they were into the place where they were fully using their gift. That's what God wants for all of us.
He does. You know, you mentioned earlier this week your son and the journey that God's had him on in the military. My adult son has had a journey of understanding his skills and interests and abilities. And when he graduated from college, he started out in a sales job. And although he has a very winsome personality, he was doing okay. It did not match the way God had really wired him. God had wired him, as a matter of fact, to be a musician. And he has had the opportunity in the last 18 months to serve as a worship pastor. And we have seen him blossom and flourish because his work now matches his skills and interests and experience.
And you can flip that over in God's economy and know that there are people who God uniquely wired to be successful in selling.
Absolutely.
And I've met some of those.
Yes.
And they've parted me from my money. And, you know, they're doing a great service because the world turns on financial transactions. Mm-hmm. And God gives us all unique abilities, and we should discover that. And Sharon, for years on this program, we've been telling people, if you don't know how you're wired, if you don't know your skills and interests, invest in yourself by taking the Career Direct assessment so that you can get clarity on how God wired you and what you need to be doing.
It's a tool that has helped thousands of people.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Sharon Epps. All week we've been talking about God's economy versus man's economy, and we've defined that as a divine integration of the mystery of God's lordship being spiritually transformed, our stewardship being financially transformed, and our generosity, allowing the Lord to use what He's given us for His purposes. And Sharon, we want to get really practical. When we think about being a wise steward, the first thing we said is we match our skills and interests and experiences with what we do to earn a living. That's primary. That's the foundational step of really being a good steward with our gifts and talents and learning to be innovative. And if we have to remake our career, ask the Lord, put me in a place where I can be maximally effective at what I do every day at work. But there's another way to go about this. What's step two?
We know on this whole area of stewardship and focusing on wisely making money, one of the things that we see is people that immediately assume that they need to adjust their lifestyle in order to get their finances in order, when there are occasions that they actually need to have more. They need to earn more. And so we encourage people to seriously evaluate the need to earn more versus only adjusting their lifestyle.
Well, I think that's true, because so often we only think about a defensive posture.
Yes.
But in the Lord's economy, there's also an offensive posture. And that means you could rev up your opportunities or capacity to earn a greater living. I know a case of a young man who was not making enough money to provide for his family. And I've shared this on the air maybe a year ago, Sharon, that the money map coach that he met with looked at their budget situation and said, "You need to make some more money for your family." And he said, "Is there anything that you think you could do?" And he said, "No, I'm pretty much maxed out." And he said, "Who cuts the lawn at your church?" And he said, "I don't know who does that." And he said, "Well, why don't you tell him you'd be interested?" Well, as it worked out, they hired him to do the lawn maintenance around the church where he attended. And it turned into a very strong small business for him. And in fact, over time, it doubled his income. Mm. And that all started with the simple idea of, why don't you evaluate how much you're able to earn? And God can do that for all of us. And I think in the 21st century, it's going to be important that people have multiple ways to earn a living. We have to get out of this entrapment of being job slaves, where if you get laid off, it's the only thing you know how to do. And if there's not jobs in your field, then you're stuck. We've got to work through that.
We do. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we're taught the principle of diversification. And I think so often we think of diversification in terms of our investments in stocks and bonds. But I believe that our source of income needs to be diversified as well, so that we're not dependent on that one job.
Well, the Lord says you don't know which is going to succeed, what you do in the morning or what you do in the evening. And so he endorsed in Ecclesiastes the idea of moonlighting.
That's exactly true.
And entrepreneurship is going to be a very major skill set into the future, because many people are going to have to learn to make a living with whatever they have.
They do. And we do want to caution that this always needs to be taken in context of life balance and meeting family needs, emotional needs, and relational needs as well. So it's not a decision that can be made in isolation. But there are so many times that when we are creative, God shows us some unique ways to earn additional income.
Well, another part of being a faithful steward, of stewarding wisely, is to learn to be content with what God has provided for you. And I heard it said recently that it may be one of the least taught doctrines in the church today.
I think that is so incredibly true. In fact, I've heard the testimony of a family where the children were asking to move to a larger home in a nicer neighborhood. And even though the dad said, "You know what, we could afford the purchase price for the house, we can't afford the increase in lifestyle. We can't afford the car that we would want to go with that, with the finer furnishings for our house." And he really had this thought process in mind, that he wanted to be content with the level of income that he'd been given, not just in one financial decision, but in their entire lifestyle and in constructing the type of life that they wanted to lead.
Well, and it protects you against workaholism. Because the Lord doesn't want us to work all the time. He implemented, I believe, the festivals, all the feasts, and the Sabbath rest so that we couldn't work all the time and we would have to live by faith.
I think so. And, you know, both of our co-founders, Larry Burkett and Howard Dayton, love to ask the question, how much is enough? And I think that's a question that we don't ask regularly in this society. It's a very important one to answer.
You know, another aspect of stewarding wisely is to sell the things that you don't need, to truly lighten your backpack so that you can take this journey and be available to the Lord to go or do whatever He leads you to do.
Well, you know, one of my favorite stories related to that is a couple that I was counseling that were really struggling with these lifestyle type decisions, and they were feeling enslaved to their jobs. They were needing to make more money all of the time. And so I asked them to just prayerfully go and ask the Lord what they might divest themselves from that would bring them not only financial security, but also lifestyle security. And they came back and they had realized that they had truly become slaves to their boats and to their their motorcycles. Mm. And they made the decision to divest themselves of those two things, things that they really enjoyed, but they realized that they were spending every waking moment either keeping them maintained, getting the next larger, bigger one. And when they sold those, their life became simpler and they became more free.
Oh, no doubt about it, Sharon. It always makes a difference if you're not encumbered by the inertia of things, because every time you purchase something new, you have to pay taxes, you have to store it, you have to pay maintenance, you have to pay insurance. It just affects your life. It draws your attention away from other things that the Lord may want you to accomplish.
And even something as simple as something new you place in your home, at the minimum, you have to dust it and keep it straight.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about investing as a part of stewarding wisely when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We're going to continue this discussion on God's economy when we come back.
Abraham.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We're continuing our week-long segment on unpacking God's economy. My guest is Sharon Epps. And Sharon, we've been talking about stewarding wisely all that God's given us, including our talents and how we make a living.
We are. We want to make sure that we use all of our resources to accomplish His mission. And those resources begin with what He's given us. And those talents and those skills are such a huge part of that.
Well, one of the areas that people have experienced great pain, and I think it's an area that's going to become more and more relevant as the economy looks shakier into the future, is the area of investing. There have been a lot of people hurt. There's been many people who have wondered, what in the world should we do? In fact, I was just speaking to a large group when I was in Israel. And one of the things they wanted to know is, what does the Bible say about investing? Because we don't want to invest on man's wisdom anymore. And you know, Sharon, it's really pretty straightforward. The Lord tells us that by wisdom a house is built, and that we should use our mind. He allows us to pick things that we invest in that we understand. And that's a key principle, is don't invest in things that you have no understanding of whatsoever. And in fact, there are people today that cannot explain what a derivative is or what a credit swap is or what some of the future contracts are that people were thinking they were so stable and so important in our in this run-up on Wall Street. Many people, even experts, did not understand what they were. So they violated a biblical principle of making money. And the second part of it is to diversify. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 11:2, to diversify your portions to 7 or 8. Well, what's that percentage? What is that, 15%, 14%? No more than 14 or 15% in a single asset class. Now, that's the best protection from Solomon's point of view that you could possibly have, because you don't know what's going to succeed, and there are no sure things, and we just need to make wise, informed investment decisions. And it's really obvious that the dollar is getting weaker, and that there are things that we need to be aware of that hedge against a weak dollar. And so it's time for the body of Christ to be aware that the dollar is getting weaker, it's under tremendous pressure, and to move into areas that you understand, but be diversified into different asset classes.
You know, one great example I have of that is a couple that I'm very close to, that the husband is in construction and the wife is a realtor. And they have chosen to diversify and to invest in rental houses. Now, in this marketplace, you would say, well, that might be really crazy. Except because of their expertise and because of their understanding, it has worked very well for them.
Well, that's a good example of being wise and using your skills and gifts. You know, Sharon, one aspect of stewarding wisely is the aspect of managing what God has given us. We haven't talked about that in depth.
We'll be looking forward to talking about that tomorrow.
Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again tomorrow on this topic of God's economy.